Divine Aspiration, Chapter 1, The Worship of the Pure Heart. Student, Srila Guru Maharaj, in the Ganesh Kanda section of Brahma Vaibhata Purana, the history of Sri Parashuram is related. I read there that Lord Shiva gave Parashuram a protective mantra, a Krishna Kavach. But one devotee told me that in this age, Kali Yuga, the only really potent Kavach is Narasimha Kavach. My question is, what is true about these Kavaches? Is it possible in the present day for anyone to be given or to accept these Kavaches that appear in the ancient scriptures? Is it necessary or practical? Srila Sridhar Maharaj. The use of kavaches is, on the whole, an external affair. The mantra, Gayatri, and the Naam, Hare Krishna, are all useful and all powerful. And using the kavach to help externally is a thing of minor importance. The Naam, the Lord's name, and the Lord whose name it is, are one and the same. That is enough. It is sufficient, complete. In the mundane world, to help us, we can sometimes accept the kavaches. But that is not of very great importance. We may accept either Krishna kavach or Narasimha kavach to help our bhajan, our worship, but not at the cost of faith in the divine name, Naam Bhajan, which is the best of all. Even the Gayatri mantra is to help Naam Bhajan. Krishna mantra hoite habi sangsar mochan, Krishna naam hoite pabi Krishnera charan. Chaitanya Charitamrit, Adi Lila, 7:73. Translation: simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can obtain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. The worship of the name Naam Bhajan is the highest, and we shall stick to that with our whole concentration. To see or to look for other things to help it may be allowed to a certain extent, but not much attention should be given to those external things. They are only something like a varna, a kind of dress, a covering for protection. So there is not much harm if we take Krishna kavach or Narasimha kavach with this intention: it has come to help my Naam Bhajan life. If meant in this way, it may be allowed, but it is not the highest standard. The general purpose of using the kavach is to protect us from the external or superficial difficulties. But the pure devotees of Krishna, they won't be afraid of any external difficulties. Rather, they may invite them, like Queen Kunti, who said, "External dangers, let them come and attack me. I don't care for them. I shall go on with my service." In using the kavach, there is some karmic connection, but if that is to help the good, then its use may be acceptable. Still, in the highest form of bhajan, everything is depending on his will. The devotee thinks, "Whether I may be in danger or in happiness, I shall go on with my Naam Bhajan without any care for the external conditions that may come to me according to my previous karma. I may be in hell, heaven, or anywhere else. I won't waste my energy going to any other direction. I will go on with Naam Bhajan." Bhajan done in this mood is of the higher quality. Do you follow? Student: yes. Srila Sridhar Maharaj: in Prahlad Maharaj and others, we see such an attitude. Dangers may come at their wish, with their extreme power to disturb me. I don't care. So, Pashu paki hai tapi. Wherever my karma may take me, even to the body of bird or beast, I won't pray to Krishna for favorable circumstances. I shall utilize my energy best only towards Him. I shall only want from Him, your sweet will may be victorious. You can make or mar. You can kill me or save me. If it is necessary for your sweet enjoyment to kill me, you can do that. I am a slave, and you have every right over me to do anything and everything. With this conception in the background, we have to make our approach towards Him, and that will be of the highest quality. Our bhajan should be in this line. In our worship, we're not seeking comfort from Him or anything outside. We won't pray, O Krishna, you please create protection. I'm going towards you, so please manage my protection. Our bhajan should be of this purest type. You may do whatever you like. I want your service. I want only that your sweet will may be satisfied by me. There is to be such total self-forgetfulness in the service of Krishna. The whole concentration will be, how can I satisfy you? Whatever troubles may come upon us, we must not deviate our attention from that main purpose to any of those external things. The quality and intensity of our bhajan will be less if we are very eager to maintain our safety as we are proceeding on the path of our devotional life. Such concerns should be uncared for as much as possible, and our only concern should be, I want your satisfaction. And in that attempt, one must be self-forgetful as much as possible. But according to their adhikar, capacity, the practitioners may sometimes take the help of some protection on their way. That may be tolerated. But to seek protection on the path in this way is not the ideal. I'm going to you. Please protect me on my way. Please manage for me, for my protection. Our fundamental attitude should not be such, but rather we should think, whatever comes to me, it is your sweet will. I won't pray for protection. Student, I have another question connected to this. I'm studying Indian Vedic astrology. In my studies, I've made some astrological charts for devotees. I see the natal chart is like a photograph of the karma of the person. So my question is, what is the use of astrology for a devotee or in devotional service? Does it have some use? Srila Sridhar Maharaj. Just as general education, money, learning, physical health, and other things are necessary for the purpose of preaching, so may be knowledge of astrology in a particular situation. But all such items are subsidiary. They are not the all-important thing. Generally, the public is attracted by the astrological statement. So it may be used like bait to capture people, so as to gradually convert them. Just as one devotee, when asked by Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada to go to China to preach, said, I shall go there and open a hostel. In this way, men will come and I shall capture them for Krishna's service. This is in itself not Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotion, but it is Anukulyasya Sankalpa. It may be favorable for the cause. Namacharya Haridas Thakur used to give sweets to the children and then ask them, take the name of the Lord, Krishna. Say Krishna. First is distributing sweets and then telling them, say Krishna. It is a strategy like that. So astrology may be utilized to create some confidence in the general public so that they will think, This man is first class, so I should be as a disciple to him. In this way, they may be taken gradually towards the real path. Such an approach is anukulyasya sankalpa. It may be anukul, a favorable step towards devotion proper. But pure devotion, shuddha bhakti, is not dependent on any such things. Even gyan, knowledge, and vairagya, abnegation, indifference, renunciation, are not a part of real devotion. Jnana vairagyadi bhaktir kabu nahi anga. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhima Lila, 22, 145. Vairagya means abnegation. I don't want anything. To have no taste for all the things of this world. For example, someone may be taking food only once in a day, or even he may not be using any clothes. In all such matters, he is indifferent. Virag means indifference to everything in this world. But that also is not intrinsically a part of devotion. And it is so with jnan, knowledge. Na jnanam na cha vairagyam prayak shreyo bhavediha. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:32-33. Both jnan and vairagya, which are the real property of the jnani and yogi schools, are not a part of devotion, then what to speak of other things? Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita janet chashu vairagyam jnanam chajad ahaitukam. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2-7. Here it is told that real jnana and vairagya will come as the consequence of bhakti. As a result of devotion, the proper abnegation and proper knowledge will come. Otherwise, through the empirical method, ordinary knowledge and ordinary apathy towards worldly things cannot create devotion proper. By self-abnegation, learning all these worldly things, I shall gradually attain bhakti. It is not so. But bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. Bhakti is the cause of bhakti. Devotion is its own cause. When I get devotion proper, the real vairagya, self-abnegation, and knowledge will come in its retinue, naturally. That is normal. Otherwise, neither ordinary self-abnegation, the mood or tendency of renunciation, nor knowledge of the worldly matters can produce real devotion. So the knowledge of astronomy, astrology, mathematics, or all the great achievements of science, like those of Einstein, may be utilized to capture the ordinary people, who may then be introduced to pure devotion to Krishna. They are a kind of bait, like laddu sweets. By distributing the sweets, one may attract the person and then tell him who Lord Krishna is. The sweetest thing is Krishna. That is in the line of anukulyasya sankalpa, favorability to the cause. This should not be misinterpreted to mean that we should try to acquire some special power, like the knowledge of hypnotism, and hypnotize whoever will come and then give them the mantra. That is all artificial. It is a misunderstanding. But to capture the mind of the other party with such attractions like astrology, and thereby defeat their mental pride, crush their vanity, and then to help them to come forward with surrender, so the true thing can be distributed to them. In this way, such knowledge may be utilized. Is it clear? Student: very clear, Maharaj. There is something else I would like to ask. I have now passed 3 years in the sannyas ashram, so I want to ask to pray to your divine grace for some instruction, some practical advice about sannyas life. Srila Sridhar Maharaj: always keep in association with the Vaishnava of the higher plane in order to keep yourself healthy, to supply yourself with vitality. Whatever you do, whether it is preaching or any other service, it is to keep the vitality within you. That can come from the association of the dynamos, the Vaishnavas. That is the main idea, to keep your life intact and then go on with work. Because if the vitality diminishes, then everything will go, it will be lost. So most important is the spiritual vitality and its supply. And the source of that supply, the dynamo, is the Vaishnav. When the Vaishnav is absent, we can receive nourishment from the scripture, the Gita, the Bhagavatam, other books, and the writings of Gurudev. Student, I am very satisfied hearing from your divine grace, Srila Sridhar Maharaj. I consider myself fortunate if I can render some service to you in this way. Student, shyly, no, I consider myself fortunate to sit at your feet. I cannot express my satisfaction. Srila Sridhar Maharaj, so I think you are genuine, a sincere person. You have connection with that which is unlimited, of infinite character. That is your fortune. Student, I would like to ask another question, if I may. In my country, I have contact with a very influential man. He is the president of a karate association and a very expert martial artist. He likes Krishna consciousness and wants to be a devotee, but he's not so much a Brahminical type. He likes the Kshatriya Dharma. Also, he is attracted to mystic powers, and apparently he has them. What is your Divine Grace's view on these things? What instruction would you give to your mission about dealing with or accommodating them? Perhaps you could give some advice as to how I should introduce Krishna consciousness to this person. What would be your Divine Grace's guidance in this case to help a person of such a nature? Srila Sridhar Maharaj, just as you have already asked regarding the learning of Jyotish, astrology, so it may be in this case. It is of a very lower order to utilize physical strength to fulfill our purpose. Mahaprabhu did not accept that. When Srila Swami Maharaj's mutt in Mayapur, Sri Chandodaya Mandir, was attacked by a party of gundas, gangsters, he did not oppose them with physical force. He was inside the building at the time, and he sent a kirtan party out. Go and offer yourself as the prey of those gundas. Those ruffians had come, entered the compound, and created some disturbance. Swami Maharaj asked his devotees, go out and challenge them with kirtan. Without any weapons, go with the kirtan party and offer yourself as the prey of the gundas. And by that, the danger subsided. So Mahaprabhu's weapon is passive resistance, not physical attack, offensive for offensive, but to show a passive attitude in order to conquer the offensive thing. That will be better. That is the policy of Mahaprabhu. But when that is not possible, one in a lower stage of realization can take physical help for self-protection. And sometimes, if we see that the deity or the Vaishnav is going to be prey to the rowdies, if they are being attacked or are going to be demolished, then we are justified in using any measure to protect them, the stick or even the gun or any other weapon available to us. At that time, we can assert whatever force possible. But generally, such measures we may not use for ourselves, for our own protection, We depend fully on Krishna. Rakshishatiti Vishvasha. He will protect me. But in the case of Vaishnav, Guru or deity, we can assert ourselves as far as possible and with all our resources. We will be ready to give our own lives. If sincerity of purpose is there, then in extreme cases, such use of physical force may be accepted. But it is a question of realization. According to one's own realization, the proper adjustment in understanding and applying these principles will come.